blessing upon our time around Your Word. May the Lord Jesus Christ be lifted up and exalted, and Father, may our minds be focused on Him for the next few minutes, and Father, may we receive from the Word of God something that You have for us here today. We do pray for Brother Gary, Father, in the situation he's going through right now, and Lord, we don't know the extent of it, whether he'll go home, whether he'll be taken to the hospital, but Father, we pray for wisdom, we pray for grace, we pray, God, that You would strengthen him, and Lord, help him to do the right things and get to the right place and get the right treatment that he needs at this time. Father, we pray You'd bless our time now together. Lord, speak to each and every heart. Challenge us by the words that Paul wrote to Timothy and keeping thyself pure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Your Christian life has in it an element of self-protection. Your Christian life has in it an element of self-protection or self-preservation. Now, I'm not talking about your eternal life. That's in the hands of God. That's safe and secure. But your Christian life, your testimony, your walk with God, your walk before men, though sustained by God, still has an element of involvement by yourself in maintaining a Christian walk. We all know people that profess faith in Jesus Christ that do not have a Christian walk. Something is haywire, something's wrong, and we can divide the hairs theologically and try to debate this or that, but we simply know this, that if you and I are going to maintain a Christian walk, yes, we need the grace of God and the help of God, but there's also some responsibility laid at our feet. And the Bible makes that clear. In Jude verse 21, the Bible says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God." Now, I believe that love of God is not God's love for us, but our love for God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. You and I have to maintain ourselves to make sure we stay in love with God, because it's easy, as the church at Ephesus did in the book of Revelation, to lose your first love. And there are many people, and I'm not questioning their sincerity, I'm not questioning their salvation, but I'm just saying, it's evident by the way they live and the things they do that they are not in love with God. And the Bible says you and I need to be in love with God. My life verse, Cassie called a few weeks ago. I didn't know why. She was making some stationery for Christmas for me. And she asked me, called me up or texted me, I think it was, and said, what verse do you use for your life verse? And I said, my life verse is Joshua 23:11. Take good heed therefore unto yourselves that you love the Lord your God. I've made that my life verse for many, many years. Take good heed therefore unto yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Jude said, keep yourselves in the love of God. We've got to make sure that we stay in love with God. That's our responsibility, something laid at our feet. Keep yourselves. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence. Keep thy heart with all diligence. You and I have a responsibility to maintain our relationship with God. Now here in 1 Timothy chapter 5 at the end of verse number 22, Paul gives us another one of these keys, and he says, keep thyself pure. In other words, God is not putting an umbrella over your head to stop anything from defiling you. You have a responsibility to keep yourself pure. Paul, this old saint of God, this old soldier of the Lord, this man said to this young man, Timothy, is writing to them as he left him here at the church at Ephesus to pastor that church. Paul is saying to him, he says in verse 22, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partakers of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. The challenge that God has for each one of us this morning is to do something to maintain our purity, to keep ourselves pure. I want you to see three things this morning briefly. Three things from 1 Timothy 5:22, these three words about purity. Number one, the purity problem. The purity problem. Paul said to Timothy, keep thyself pure. You know what that means? That means there's going to be a problem, or he wouldn't have had to give him that admonition. He wouldn't have had to say, keep thyself pure, if pure was a non-entity. It was just automatic. It was something he didn't have to do anything about. But Paul had to tell Timothy, Timothy, you need to do something as a young man. You need to do something to maintain your purity. Keep thyself pure. Ephesus, where Paul left Timothy to pastor, was a town given to immorality. They worshiped the goddess Diana that came down from Jupiter. And in that worship of idolatry was a lot of immorality. It was a pagan town. It was a filthy culture. And Paul told Timothy, though you're living in Ephesus, you don't have to live like Ephesus. Keep thyself pure. The society of Ephesus was full of filthy people. There was a lot of filthy language. Probably filthy pictures. Filthy talk. Filthy ideas. You know, when I read 2,000 years ago of Paul telling Timothy, keep thyself pure, my first thought is, that must have been awful easy back then. There were no computers. There was no television. There was no Hollywood. There was no printing press to put out all the filth and the sludge that the world... It must have been easy back then. But the fact of the matter is, it's never been easy to keep thyself pure. People might have lived at different times, and though we see today that the proliferation of wickedness is so much faster because of everything, the technology we have, it's never been different. It's always been an evil, wicked society. And the world has never looked favorably upon purity. Back in Timothy's day, in the city of Ephesus, or in Corinth, where we're studying in Sunday nights, where Paul's writing to them, all these places had problems with sexual immorality, with impurity. And that's what's exalted in our day. People will talk about adultery, homosexuality, even polygamy, with almost a favorable conversation. But if you talk about chastity, if you talk about morality, it's mocked and it's ridiculed. If someone of prominence, someone that's out there says, well, I'm going to keep myself clean and pure for marriage, they set themselves up as a target for the rest of the media and the rest of society to shoot at them because it's something that society just doesn't know anything about. Our modern society doesn't know about purity. And yet in the midst of that society, the admonition of God to us is, keep thyself pure. I looked up the word pure in the dictionary. And first I went to that 1868 Webster dictionary, the first English dictionary that Noah Webster made, and I looked for the word purity. And it gave a couple of different definitions. And it's something that has no addition of other elements. That's what's pure. Like we say, pure water. If you want something to drink, don't you want pure water? You don't want impure water. I remember being in the Congo back in 2010, and we were stuck on the street one day due to some different circumstances, and a guy came around and he was selling water in a little plastic Ziploc bag. And he came around with a bunch of those, and he said, he wasn't speaking English, but he said, do you want to buy water? And I looked at that water and thought, I have no idea where that water came from. I am not drinking that water. We want pure water. Well, that's what pure means. No outside elements have infiltrated. But you know the second definition in Webster's dictionary? When it talked about moral purity. Moral purity. But then I went to a modern dictionary. I went to dictionary.com and I looked up the word pure. It gave seven different definitions. And in those seven different definitions, not a one of them said anything about moral purity. That's where our society is today. Purity is a thing of the past. Purity is outside the window. Purity was the Puritans. You know how much abuse they get? That name Puritan in history, you pick up most of the history books and they will run them into the ground. And most of it is misinformation, not correct history. Paul said to Timothy, keep thyself pure. Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Paul had to tell Timothy, keep thyself pure. If he had to tell them that 2,000 years ago, how much more do we need the admonition today? Keep thyself pure. Folks, I'm looking at a bunch of people that have to live in this world. We don't have to live of it, but we live in this world. And trying to be pure in the conversation of this world, trying to be pure among the people of this world, you know what we as Christians do? We make excuses. Well, God understands. I've heard people say that. Well, God understands. You know, I work with these people. I live with these people. Sometimes I say things I shouldn't say. Look at things. No, God doesn't understand. We can't put that off that way. God's admonition for you and I is to keep ourselves pure. With all that's going on in the movies and television. You know, you can even put a television show on that's not bad, but then the commercials come on. And they're advertising things. There's some commercials on. I got to hit the mute button an awful lot. There's just a lot of junk that's out there. I told you a couple of months ago I was out. I went down to get tires for Sonia's car. And I was in the place where you get the tires, and I had to wait for quite a long time. I was in there for a couple hours as I waited. And I always take something with me to read. And I had my Kindle with me, and I was reading through whatever I was reading at the time, and I was reading that. And the television's on. And it's, you know, it's stupid stuff, but most of that stuff I can ignore. The game shows were on, you know, The Price is Right or this and that, and I can read through that. But then some show came on, and granted, I'm not a daytime TV viewer, so this is all new to me, but some show came on with four or five women sitting there all talking about different topics, and it was unbelievably filthy. And I sat there as long as I could, I don't know why, but I sat there for a while trying to read in the midst of that, and finally, it wasn't warm out, it was a cold day. And I got up and I went outside and I stood outside with my thing and I read out there because I couldn't stand to be inside with what that show on was. And I thought to myself, that's a popular show. And people are sitting in front of the thing and absorbing all that. And a lot of Christian people are sitting there absorbing all that and not realizing they are losing their purity. You and I need to be careful when we sit down and watch things on television, when we put things before our eyes that we read. We've got to be careful. We've got to guard this. If the admonition was real 2,000 years ago, how much more is it real right now? Keep thyself pure. Maybe there's some movies we need to get rid of. Maybe there's some pictures we need to throw out. Maybe there's some magazines we need to get rid of. Ladies, I don't want to pick on you, but romance novels? Don't wonder why your mind works the way it does. You can't get victory. You read that stuff, you say, well, there's no cuss words and all that. No, but it's just the romance part of it and the fantasy world that you live in. And then you visualize that and think that. And it's not pure. It's not clean. Man, I don't need to tell you what our problem is. We know what that is. All the things that can pop up on the computer, the things that are, you walk into Circle K and got to be bombarded with the stand that's back there, and every little thing, the way people dress, everything, it's all, our society is meant to defile us. And you and I as Christians are given the admonition of God, keep thyself pure. There's a purity problem. Number two, notice not only the purity problem, notice the personal problem. Keep thyself pure. Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's telling him, Timothy, the only person you can ultimately keep pure is yourself. See, we're good, and preachers, we're good at this too. We're good at preaching to you. We're good at telling you, don't watch that stuff, and don't listen to that stuff, and don't participate in that stuff, and don't have part in that stuff. We're good at telling other people that. But the fact of the matter is, if we can't preach to others what we don't practice ourselves. And that's not just true of the preacher, it's true of the person in the pew. You can't hear the message on purity and say, oh boy, my wife really needs that. My husband, I hope he's hearing every word the preacher's saying. I can't wait to go home and tell my kids what the message is about tonight. That's all fine, that's good. But you know what Paul told Timothy? Timothy, it's not about your wife. He didn't have one at the time. It's not about your family. It's about you. Keep yourself pure. Ultimately, the person that we are responsible to before God is ourselves. Now, there's other things that come into play for the head of the home, for the family. I know all that. But I'm just saying in this thing of keeping thyself pure, don't try to worry about somebody else. Focus on yourself. Keep thyself pure. Paul had to tell Timothy that because it was a problem. In the midst of the society of Ephesus, Timothy was supposed to keep himself pure. Can I propose to you that was not easy in that day? In that culture, he'd walk around, everybody'd say, well, there's that goody two-shoes. That Timothy, he never participates in this, and he never comes to that party, and he never does this thing. Why? He's trying to keep himself pure. It'll make a person an outcast. It'll make them not fit into society. We don't want to not fit in. So many times we compromise so that we can fit in. And God's saying, no, there's no excuse for it. Don't say God understands. Keep thyself pure. Look at verse number 22. The context of the statement Paul made. He said, verse 22, lay hands suddenly on no man. Now, lay hands suddenly, that means don't get into it, don't lose your temper and get in a fist fight. That's not what that means. Lay hands suddenly on no man. Laying hands on someone was ordaining someone to the ministry. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul talked about the gift that was given to Timothy by the laying on of hands. When we ordained Brother John here in the ministry, we got around him, he knelt there, we got around, and all the preachers kind of put hands on him. There's no transfer of power, it's just a custom that we do. We lay hands and we pray for that person as they get ordained to the ministry. Paul was telling Timothy, be careful you don't ordain somebody for a false motive. Don't ordain them for personal pride. Don't ordain them for financial gain. Don't ordain. He's saying, keep thyself pure. Even from his business dealings, we might say. Even from hypocrisy and dishonesty, keep thyself pure. Not just moral issues, but all the other things. I like what Jesus said about Nathanael in John chapter 1. Go back. Look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. No, it's 2. But you can go to John chapter 1 if you want. We'll get a running start. John chapter 2. No, it's 1. I once thought I was wrong, but I was wrong. John chapter 1, verse number 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. You know what that word guile means? No deceit. No dishonesty. No hypocrisy. He was pure. The Bible says, keep thyself pure. We need to be like Nathanael, that the Lord can say of us, there's not a dishonest bone in his body. There's no guile in him. Keep thyself pure. Timothy, lay hands suddenly on no man. Notice it says in verse 2, neither be partakers of other men's sins. Well, everybody else is doing it. Doesn't make it right for you or me. Doesn't make it pure. See, our standard is purity. Keep thyself pure. If we're going to live by the standards of society, our standards can be drastically lowered. We can bring them way down here. But if we're trying to live by the standard of God, be ye holy, for I am holy. You say that standard's out of reach. It's too high up there. But you all know that the higher the standard is that you shoot for, the higher you get. The lower standard you shoot for, the lower you get. Society's standard is way down here. Filth, wickedness, ungodliness, corruption, immorality, vileness in conversation, in things that they watch and things that they talk about. And the Bible says, here's your standard, keep thyself pure. Be not partakers of other men's sins. Solomon said it this way when he wrote to his son back in Proverbs chapter 1. He said, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. You don't have to do it because other people are doing it. You don't have to go along because it's the popular thing to do. Keep thyself pure. It's a personal problem. You and I need to examine our lives. We need to guard our lives. We need to protect our lives. We can't do anything for the people that are out there, but we can do it for ourselves. Our problem is we usually want to straighten everybody else out first before we get to the source. And it doesn't work that way. Keep thyself pure. It's a purity problem. It's a personal problem. Number 3, it's a perpetual problem. It's a perpetual problem. You know what perpetual means? Never ending. Keep thyself pure. Well, I did yesterday. What do I do today? Keep thyself pure. I'm going to. What do I do tomorrow? Keep thyself pure. We would say, keep on keeping. Keep on keeping thyself pure. How long do I do that? Till the Lord calls you home. Till the rapture comes or the death angel knocks on your door, whatever it may be. Keep thyself pure. What does the word keep mean? Well, we said keep yourselves in the love of God. We know what that means. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Keep my commandments, Jesus told his disciples on several different occasions. What does it mean to keep? It means to guard them. It means to protect them. It means to obey them. It means to do them. Keep thyself pure. How good are we doing at keeping that admonition? How well are we focused on keeping ourselves pure? Again, last Sunday morning, preached on some things to flee from, some things to follow after, some things to fight for. And I'm going to remind you of that not every Sunday this year, but throughout the year. Go back and ask ourselves, how are we doing in fleeing from things we should flee from? And following after things we should follow after, and fighting for things we should fight for. And here's what the Bible says. Keep thyself pure. We've got to flee from some. There's some things we need to avoid if we're going to keep ourselves pure. In this world, keeping ourselves pure is like swimming upstream against the current. Because the current always goes with gravity. It always goes downhill. And the child of God is not called to go downhill. The child of God is called to fight against the current and be moving upstream. And so if you and I are going to keep ourselves going upstream, we've got to avoid some things. Now, I'm not going to give you this morning a checklist of things you need to avoid. You already know what it is. As you go through the rest of your day, you will know what it is. If you're focused on it, you'll know what it is that's affecting your purity. The problem is when we're not aware of it, it affects us without us recognizing it. We don't know we're getting dirty if we're not looking at the fact that I'm supposed to be clean and here's some dirt sticking to me. But when we recognize that God wants us to be pure in thought, pure in action, pure in emotion, pure in disposition, when we're focused on that, it's a lot easier to keep ourselves pure. And when we're around something that's not pure, we say, hey, this isn't the place for me to be. This isn't the situation for me to be in. Keep thyself pure. We've got to avoid some things. Not only some things to flee from, but some things to follow after. If we want to keep ourselves pure, if we're protecting ourselves and guarding ourselves, not only are we going to avoid some things that many times are difficult to avoid, and maybe we don't want to avoid. Well, I'm not willing to sacrifice that to keep myself pure. Then we recognize where the problem is. And we recognize we can't be pure. And God said, blessed are the pure in heart. We've got to avoid some things, but then also we've got to associate with some things if we're going to keep ourselves pure. In other words, we've got to withdraw from the things that would make us dirty and draw to the things that would make us clean. Now I'll leave that to you again to figure out what it is. What is it on television that you need to avoid because it's dirty, and what is it there that makes you clean and you can watch it, all right? That's your viewing list right there. Now I won't tell you what it is, but I'll tell you it just got really small all of a sudden. When you put out anything that's impure, anything that's not going to make you clean, when you put all that out and only put things that are going to be beneficial, you say, well, I can watch the Animal Planet show. You know, it's really going to limit what you're going to be able to watch. Because most of what's out there is not good. What are you going to read? Most of your list goes out the window if you're going to keep yourself pure. Your reading list really goes down drastically. Who are you going to hang around with? Your list just got cut bad. Because these people are going to talk about things that are not honoring and glorifying to God, not pure, and those things are going to enter into your ear. And I got news for you. The cleaner you are, the worse the dirt appears. And if you're trying to get clean, you know, somebody that's not very clean will listen to this and say, and not notice that it's dirty. Whereas somebody that's a lot cleaner will listen to that and say, wow, that's pretty bad. If we're half dirty and half clean already, we don't recognize the dirt that bad. So we're going to have to avoid some of those things and find some people and find some folks that will help us be clean. That's why I like church. Because we can come in here, bless God, and hopefully, and not have to worry for the couple hours we're in here about our ears hearing something we're not supposed to hear. Or our eyes seeing something we're not supposed to see. And again, that's why the modern Christian movement and church movement is not real good. Because usually people are getting up here that are not dressed decently, and it's affecting the purity. And the music is not clean, and it's affecting the purity. And they're not getting the message, keep thyself pure. There might be some things you need to avoid that the person next to you doesn't have to avoid. Some things that bother you that doesn't bother them, and not because it's necessarily not a clean thing, but because you have a particular weakness to something. Keep thyself pure. There's a perpetual problem. Look, if you would, at Philippians chapter 4. Just a couple of Bible verses here now. Philippians chapter 4. And I know you know this verse, verse number 8. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8. Paul writes to the church of Philippi and says this, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Can you imagine a world with only those things in it? That was the Garden of Eden. I taught the kids in Sunday school this morning. We taught the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, the age of innocence before everything fell apart down there. And that's the way the world was. There was only those things that were true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of a good report. Now when you pick up the paper to read the front page, you know what you find? Everything that's not on that list right there. Because those things don't make news. But everything you're going to read is drugs, killing, stealing. Trying to think over the headlines for the last couple of days. Everything, you know, every once in a while, a nice, you know, nice good human interest story, but most of that doesn't sell the front page. The top of the fold. You know, when they put them in the box there where people are buying it, they want everything on the top of the fold, and usually the headline has to be something that's not in the list of Philippians 4:8 to be able to sell it, because that's what people grab and go after. You don't believe it? I don't recommend this. Look at those tabloids in the grocery stores. Look at the headlines that are on there. They're all things that are not in that list right there, because that's what our human nature goes after. Imagine a world right now, 2015, if God were to come down and purify society and take out everything that was not in that list, what would be left? What would be left in your home and mine? Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We need to keep our minds pure. Because everything that we take in through our eyes, through our ear, affects us one way or another, and many times it defiles us. Psalm chapter 12, we'll not turn to these verses, but let me give them to you. Psalm chapter 12, verse 6, "The words of the Lord are pure words." I know where you can go every single time you want to find something pure and you can't find it in this world. I know where you can go. You can go to the Word of God. The words of the Lord are pure words. You want something clean? You get sick and tired of the filth and the vile that's out there, and you say, "I've got to get away from this." Open your Bible, sit down and read. Even if it's in public, cause a scene. Cause a commotion. Watch people stumble and trip over themselves when they realize you're sitting in a public place and reading a Bible. Psalm 19, verse 8, "The commandment of the Lord is pure." The commandment of the Lord is pure. Let me ask you this. I asked you this at the beginning of this year, and again, don't raise your hands, don't answer. If this is what's pure, and if this is what's going to help keep yourself pure, that right there, in 2014, did you read through that? From Genesis to Revelation? if that's what's pure and the rest of this world isn't, did you read through that? If you didn't, how are you going to keep yourself pure? Because I guarantee you watched this and watched that and heard this and heard that and read this and read that, and it defiles us. And there's purity in black and white inside the covers of a book. And we forget about it. And we can't keep ourselves pure. The commandment of the Lord is pure. Psalm 119 verse 40. Psalm 119 verse 40. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Thy word is very pure. Proverbs chapter 30 verse 5. Proverbs 30 verse 5. Every word of God is pure. When you and I get the Word of God in our hearts and our life like it ought to be, purity takes its place. Paul told Timothy, in the midst of a culture, in the midst of a world, in the midst of a society that was unclean to its core, he said to him, keep thyself pure. God's admonition to us in 2015, in the society we live in the world that's around us, God tells us, keep thyself pure. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.